Hey guys, this is Isaac and welcome to the Indian D2C playbook. Over the past couple of years, direct-to-consumer brands have taken off tremendously with ingenious positioning, distribution, and marketing strategies. With the rise of digitally native millennials, higher spending abilities, faster distribution and feedback channels have made it easier than ever before to launch a direct-to-consumer product or service. My motivation to do this podcast is to talk to leaders who are building such meaningful brands and dive deeper to uncover their successful playbook. If you like what you're listening, please do subscribe and watch out for our future episodes. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey listeners, thanks for tuning into Indian D2C Playbook. Today, as our guest, I have Gokul Raj with me, who is the founder and CEO of Madcap, which is a limited edition stationery and merchandise brand. He also runs Hazel, which is a limited edition premium journals. So Gokul, thanks for hopping to be our guest today. Shall we get started?
Yeah, my pleasure, man. Let's do this.
Great to know that. So Gokul, I mentioned already two brands that you run. Maybe there is a few more up your sleeve. So can you tell me about Madcap and the business that you're into and what is it about?
So Madcap is a parent company. So we're a design studio based out of Chennai. We design stationery and merchandise and we sell directly to consumers and we also export to other retail stores in abroad as well. And within Madcap, we have a premium stationery brand called Hazel, which caters to CEOs and artists exclusively.
Got it. And how long has it been since you started this?
4 years. I think four and some years. Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Oh, nice. That's quite a long time. And how did you come up with this idea of Madcap and Hazel, Gokul? And was there any inspiration behind it for you?
No, man. I don't think there was any inspiration per se. But then it was pure opportunity, right? So before Madcap and Hazel, I was doing I had a brand called My Copy, wherein we were doing notebooks for college students. But even back then, we had a really solid design team, wherein we did designs and limited edition graphic designs on notebooks. And that made us stand out in the crowd. And once I had licensed that brand out to a different manufacturer, I still had my team. And that's when we realized that there is still a big gap in the market when it comes to quirky designs. Most of the quirky designs that are out there are focused on females, but there are very few that are focused on males. And we took a different approach when it comes to designing a particular product, right? We didn't go by choosing a particular theme or a particular season per se. We went in a very quirky way. We choose all the alphabets A to Z, and for every alphabet, we gave an emotion that we can relate to, right? So, and we choose that emotion as a theme, and then we design. So let's say we have 10 different products. All the 10 different products will have the same theme of design, and they're limited to only 3 months or 4 months. So that's how we went about Madcap, figuring out there's an opportunity out there wherein there aren't any quirky designs focused on men or even unisex designs, right? Majority of them are focused on men or on women. So that's how we came about Madcap.
Got it. So I see more of the design perspective there. So I think you see all these products as a white canvas and, you know, that can have endless possibility of designs there. What all products comes under this brand?
So under Madcap, we have three different types of notebooks. We have badges, stickers, posters, coasters, bags, wallets. We even have this really cool thing called attitude plates. They're like your number plates, but with some really cool, funky content on it, which you can paste it on your car or on your friend door or wherever you want to, right? We also have some quirky stamps. So these are a range of products that we have on under Madcap. And under Hazel, it's pure premium journals, right? We have journals, a couple of journals focused on CEOs and a couple of them focused on artists. And in Hazel, it's a different play. It's not a pure design play as in Madcap. In Hazel, it's a pure play around quality and the kind of materials that we use. So for Hazel, actually, we import the paper from Italy exclusively for Hazel products. and we focus more on the quality, the content in it, and the way the whole thing is put up.
Got it. And while you are building this brand, you know, I've seen D2C brands who are being built take up an opportunity that is already a upcoming trend, right? So while you're building this, have you seen any trends, or why did you time this you know, this product at this point of time? Are there any signs or signals that eventually led to starting Matcap and Hazel?
Yeah, one major sign or trend that we thought actually would work for us 3-4 years back was that people are willing to showcase their emotions in the products that they use, right? They were okay to wear colorful clothes or colorful phone wrappers or notebooks or the badges or whatever, right? So people didn't want to be the drab old plain colored clothes and whatever stuff. So they were willing to showcase their emotions and their egos in different ways and possibilities. So that's where we thought, okay, there's an opportunity. So we make sure that our designs emote the emotions and ego of the end consumers.
Got it. So it's very much an expression, right?
Yeah.
And which audience, you know, age or group that you actually picked up to target this?
So when we started off, we actually thought we're talking about Matcap. This is going to do really well between 16 and 25 year olds. But then within a few months after launch, the target customer actually expanded to people until 35 years of age. So people who were not able to buy these quirky products when they were in college, right? They actually, so now when they're working, now they're willing to buy and showcase them. So that actually happened.
Got it. And where are you today? How big is the brand today?
So in 4 years, we've grown from just selling online to now selling across about 94 different stores in India. And we're distributing across 12 different countries as well through international distributors. And on the monthly ARR would be close to about 5.5 crores. So, and we are a team of 10. So that's where we are.
Nice. The short term, great expansion, I would say. I think you have also seen from a hill above that, you know, how to go about building a direct to consumer brand. So, and being closer to your customers, getting real time feedback, you know, and solving those issues. So what are the benefits that you see in building a direct to consumer brand?
Like you said, right, the first thing is immediate feedback. You don't have to go through multiple channels to actually get to know what your consumer think. You can actually get direct feedback from the consumers on whether they like the product or hate the product, or if they want something to be changed, or if they don't like the content or whatever, right? That is something that's very, very good when it comes to D2C. And the other important thing, it's also been, we've been able to build personal connections with consumers, right? The fact that we know who they are, what they do, their data, and how often they come back, all that stuff helps us improve the brand, improve the product, improve the sales channels as well, and also improve the experience. So that is where I think the whole D2C benefit comes in. And I think the last thing is understanding the trends. Since we can build a very close community or a personal connection with the end consumer, we can if we have really a good system of getting continuous feedback, then I think we can easily predict upcoming trends on where customers are going and what product they like and they don't like.
Got it. And one more thing that kind of remember right now that I'm also seeing as a pattern with other guests who have been in this show is that, you know, the usually traditionally industries are built where, you know, or FMCG model usually are built where they build a product, then go to the market. But here in D2C, you are going to the market and then building a
product out of it, right? So would you agree with that? So is Madcap also, you know, when you say closer to the audience, getting those feedback loops going, do you have a process set in?
Yeah, see, I understand. So if we have a process set in wherein we get feedback from the consumers on what they want and what they don't want, right? And we do, and we have developed products pertaining to what the end consumer wants. But I think that's a whole, that's a double-edged sword, right? You can't go with what the consumer says every other time. So we've had bad experiences and also very good experiences as well. So there might be a group of customers who want a particular set of products, and let's say we go ahead and launch it, right? So, and if that group isn't responding as well as we thought, then that's going to be a challenge if you are a self-funded D2C brand. But on the other hand, if you take your time and if you research and if you think, okay, this is what's going to be good in the next month or two or even the next 6 months, and then you launch a product, I think that had a, that has had a better rate of success with us comparative to satisfying whatever the consumer wants.
Makes sense. And one other thing that is also kind of a regular pattern of conversations that I'm having, Gokul, is on D2C brands are built on story or experience or, you know, an emotion, more of an impulse buy than directly selling it as a commodity, right? So how are you approaching Madcap or Hazel when it is go to market?
Experience and emotion, man. So with Madcap, it's pure experience and design, right? So we tell them in every communication, every content that we put out, that the designs that we have put out here is going to emulate your ego, your emotion, from the name of the design or whatever we do, right? It's all focused on them being able to showcase who they are. So that's something that we do with Hazel. But with respect to, that's something that we do with Madcap, but with respect to Hazel, it's pure emotion, because we focus on the product quality and the paper that we use and how good it is in the hands of the end user, right? With Hazel, it's not a necessity and it is not an impulse buy. People don't buy, let's say, a $2,000 journal just because they like the look of the journal. They buy a $2,000 journal, a rupees journal, only if they actually need it. So there's a lot of use case behind why people would want to buy Hazel and why people would want to pick up Madcap just by seeing how it looks.
Got it. And could you share one of the things that is usually asked in this podcast by a couple of listeners is, you know, when they are building their early stage brand, just starting up, just figuring out which channel to go after, right? So you must have had these challenges maybe in the first year of yours. What are some of the, you know, the early set of customers that you had? How did you acquire them? Where did you find them? And how did they start buying from you?
So e-commerce is a very difficult market to begin. Like, I mean, I'm sure you know that the cost of customer acquisition is very high in Indian e-commerce right now. So it was the same case 3-4 years back as well. It was pretty difficult to get a consumer online. But what we did was we went to the end consumers through events, right? So we launched our brand Madcap in Comic-Con Bangalore. And from there on, we did a tour of about 12-14 Comic-Cons consecutively in 2 years across India, just to make sure that we get the product out to the end consumer and get their feedback and stuff. So once we got that brand awareness and also feedback from the end consumer, and once we figured out who the end consumer actually is, then we went around looking out for stores where we can actually showcase our products and actually sell. See, before all this, we did have an e-commerce store where people can come and buy our products. But before spending money on acquiring customers online, we did spend money on launching our products on these offline events and also corporate events. And one thing that actually helped us a lot is offline distribution, right? We went and looked out for unique, quirky stores in each and every city where people would want to come by, drop by and buy gifts or some quirky stuff for their parents or for their friends. So we made sure we were present in those stores as well. And that helped us grow the consumer base and get the initial consumers.
Got it. Makes sense. And I think also having an offline presence, since most of your product that you mentioned out in the group of products like notebooks, posters, while they do have great design, it's also a touch and feel experience.
Yeah, yeah.
On the material, specifically with Hazel, and which has a lot of emotions around it as well. So so I guess that makes sense in choosing one or two things that the early stage that will work out in a higher impact. So that makes a lot of sense from your decisions. I want to shift a little bit on what are the channels that you have tried selling. You mentioned that you have a e-commerce store, that's obvious. You also said retail is also picking up. And there is then Instagram and a few other channels where people do engage with. Which of these channels makes sense for a brand like Madcap and Hazel that seems to be working quite well?
If you skip 2020, then I would say offline is the best place to actually sell these products or products like ours, right? But to get consumers to go to stores and actually pick up those products, you also will have to engage with them online on social media platforms like Instagram or TikTok or even Facebook for that sake. So, I think from our perspective, we don't specifically drive traffic to our website to sell. And we also don't drive traffic to offline store as well, but then we make sure we engage with our consumers online. And if they like and if they want to buy right now, they end up going to our website and buying. But if not, majority of the sales happen offline on retail stores. With respect to Instagram, right, one thing that has clicked with us for Madcap is selling through Instagram in US. So Instagram has a feature where you can buy a product. I don't think it's live in India, or at least not on all the pages, but it's live in US and some parts of Europe. So that worked out well for us when we created content exclusively for consumers in US or in Europe, right? So that worked for us. And with respect to Hazel, it was 100% pure distribution play. We did have an e-commerce site, but then we didn't spend any money on marketing that or doing any of that stuff. I think hardly 5 to 10% of the overall sales of Hazel comes from e-commerce. Predominantly, the sales comes from offline stores like William Penn, like Starbucks, or like some premium stationery shops. That's where people go pick up these particular notebooks. And also in the same goes to other countries as well. Let's say UK, France, or Spain, or US or Canada, right? The same thing fits through all the places, even US, Canada, and Europe. Offline stores work well, especially for Hazel. But one thing that we've actually learned is people who come back and buy the product, right? Their second or the third or the fourth purchase from the same brand, it happens by default online. The first purchase happens offline majorly, but then the second, third, and the fourth purchase happens online on our website.
Got it. Makes sense. And I want to ask one more about, I want to slightly deviate into one other thing which I found very interesting. Usually, D2C brands start with, focusing a market and then building products for that market, and then going out and selling that. And with that, they build a community around it, and that community becomes a more engaging and network effects happen around it. But very interestingly, I saw Madcap workshops, right? So where you have built a community around Madcap. So could you tell a little bit about what is this Madcap workshop? how what was the idea behind it?
So with Madcap, right? So we started Madcap with doing our own designs, putting it out on the products. And Madcap Workshops was by pure accident, right? It's a very funny incident. One of the graphic designers that I hired in Chennai to work on Madcap decided to give me a call on a day and then tell me that I'm going to quit because I don't want to do graphic design. I want to do something else. So when I asked her what she actually wanted to do, she said she actually wanted to conduct events and workshops with artists. So this happened in 2017-16 when we were experimenting, when we were actually helping out our fellow friends who were artists. We were just helping them out with marketing, just to putting out an event for them to sell tickets and stuff. So we were doing like one or two events a month or 2-3 months. But once this girl decided to do it full time, right, that's when we figured out the need for it. And Madcap Workshops became an extension of Madcap because with Madcap, we want to focus on design and emotions and experience, right? The same philosophy went with Madcap Workshops as well, wherein we want to build a community of artists and end consumers who appreciate design and art and who also want to learn stuff from people who actually design and do or paint art, right? So that's where we ended up with Madcap Workshops. And there was a point in time where Madcap Workshops became a bigger business than Madcap is. And it's been pretty phenomenal. Now we have rolled it out as a separate company altogether. We have a separate team for Madcap Workshops, and so that's doing pretty cool.
Nice. And would you say Madcap Workshops accelerated the commerce of Madcap to a greater extent?
It definitely did. Because we piggybanked on Madcap websites to sell tickets because I already had an e-commerce store. I didn't want to put up another e-commerce store. So we drive traffic to Madcap's website where we sold products without actually driving traffic to sell products. So people who went around buying tickets ended up buying products as well. And in all the offline events that we were doing, just before the pandemic for this workshop, we did have our own small kiosk in every workshop that we did. And then we sold products as well. And we let people experience what the product is. And we were doing events across 10 cities in India every weekend. So we had done about 400 plus workshops before COVID hit. So it was pretty crazy. So that actually helped boost the sales of Madcap.
Yeah, so I think COVID would have given you a tailwind effect.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing, man. Nice to know that. Yeah. And so what is the vision of Madcap, Hazel, or the umbrella brands together today?
So the overall vision of all the brands together is to build a platform for artists and designers to come showcase their talent through workshops, or events, and also on products, right? So we now plan to open up the whole Madcap design philosophy, if you can say that, or the way we do design to other third-party artists as well, who we can collaborate with, but they work under the philosophy of what we do when it comes to design. So we want to open up the canvas to them as well if they want to do a notebook or a mug or whatever. So we want to do that as well. So that's where we are. So
nice. I see a very interesting piece there. So would you enable entrepreneurs because all these are artists, right? So tomorrow they could also start selling whatever art forms that they're building in. So would that also come in the vision?
A lot of artists have been asking us that question. We believe that that's a big pain point for a lot of artists. See, there are two types of artists, right? There are designers who may create digital design and then they put it out on products and sell, where we could help immediately, right? That's the second set of designers and artists who do fine art, could be painting or could be drawing or whatever, right? They have a bigger issue wherein they don't know how to monetize the talent or sell their artwork. So we might be open to both, but then you never say never, man. So see, I am the guy who thinks if an opportunity comes, just go with it. Okay, I don't think passion drives me. I think opportunity drives me. So
nice. Very interesting. And one last question, Gokul, is that there are a lot of entrepreneurs, direct-to-consumer brands, who are building direct-to-consumer brands and who are listening to the show, and specifically for the Indian market. So if you were to rewind back to build another brand today, from all the learnings that you had, and if you have one piece of advice or maybe even two, what would you advise a budding entrepreneur, D2C entrepreneur, to just do, hey, in your next 6 months, just do these things, right? So what would that be?
The first thing would be cautious when it comes to launching new products. If I were to relaunch Madcap altogether or redo the whole thing, I would launch with only like two or three products to start off with and then move ahead with adding up other products, right? I did a mistake by launching with 12 different products. So I had a lot of capital locked up in it. So I wouldn't do that. I would experiment with one, two products and then move ahead with it. I think that actually makes a lot more sense. And I wouldn't overstock items. I was at a point wherein I had so many SKUs and so many products overstocked. And so that is an issue, right? Don't overstock items. Make sure, be nimble and move with what the market demands. And I would also want to experiment with products rather than going out and immediately launching, let's say, five SKUs, 20 different designs, 1,000 copies in each design. I'll probably do it in a very, very smaller scale and experiment it. To experiment, the best thing to do for any D2C entrepreneur in my space or in any space is to attend these offline flea markets and events. That helped us a lot in understanding the end consumer and what they need and what they like and what they don't like. The designs that we thought actually looked very cool within our studio with all the 10 of us or 5 of us, at the end of the day, when it went to the consumers, they didn't even like some of the designs at all. So I think that is something that needs to be done. Experiment with designs before investing on making a lot more products. And be financially savvy, right? So I made a lot of mistakes initially, but then you have to be financially savvy and take small steps rather than big steps.
Got it. All right. Makes a lot of sense, Gokul. So this has been really helpful. And I think the team, the people who are listening to this podcast would have got a great insight about going about building D2C e-commerce brands in India. Thanks again for being in the show, and I'm happy to have you as a guest, and I hope I would buy you a lot of new followers or new fans for you who have listened to the show, and I hope that happens.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. So, amazing questions.